This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We've got our next guest in with us. We've got Kent Morris, who's the CEO of the Confined 12 exhibition. Well, actually, no, you
the
see
torch.
I was going to say the torch, actually, yeah. And now, welcome to the show, Kent.
Thank you kindly. And as a massive Brian Ferry fan, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, are you? Right, okay.
I'll pick the right song at the right time. Yeah. Then.
Now, tell us, what is the torch for those who have missed your interviews over the year? How many times have you been on this show now?
Probably 16,554 times, I think.
Is that every year for the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, easily, I'd say. Yeah.
And because the exhibition's about this time every year. Obviously, we didn't do you last year, or maybe... I think we did, but it might have been by Zoom or something.
I think it was.
Yeah. All right, so tell us, what is Torch?
All right, so the Torch, nearly 10 years running now. It's an organisation set up to support Indigenous offenders and ex-offenders in Victoria through an art and culturally based program that I was able to develop when I was employed about 10 years ago.
But why did you do it, Kent? Yeah, what was the idea behind it?
Yeah, look, the idea, it's the same now as it was then. It's just to address, the mass incarceration of First Nations Australians in the criminal justice system, and to try and find some way to make a positive impact. We're seeing such a lack of leadership over so many decades since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody. Nothing's changing. Well, what is changing is that there's more deaths in custody and we're getting more Aboriginal incarceration. So the Torch was set up to say, right, we're a tiny community arts organisation. What can we do? How can we do something? Let's get in there and get our hands dirty and start making some impact.
Yeah, and you certainly have.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we certainly have indeed. But 400 plus men and women connected to the program now through the 16 prisons of Victoria and back in community. And since that initial year of starting the program, we've had a close to 500% increase in participation and reoffending rates for men and women who come through the program in prison and stay connected in community is about 11%. And that's against the usual 55% for Indigenous offenders going back into prison. So we're just breaking that cycle of reoffending and that connection to the criminal justice system.
So just a little bit, Kent, in what is actually involved with the Torch. I mean, obviously you're dealing with, incarcerated sort of offend, First Nations. I mean, is it particularly First Nations people you're looking at? And what does the program involve? Do you actually go there? Do you teach art? Do you get people to do things? And, so what is it, basically?
Yeah, no, a whole bunch of good questions in there. So yes, it's particularly focused on First Nations Australians. It's 2% of the population. We make up close to 30% of the prison population. So it's an extreme mass incarceration, and it's completely out of kilter. We should make up around 2% of the prison population, not 30. So how do we do it? Well, it's around the production of art. But before that, and what the men and women wanted particularly was around, well, what would we make art about? What are our stories? We need to learn more about our culture and our language and see photos of our family members, all these disconnections and impacts of colonisation that lead in some ways or contribute to this impact. There was a really real desire, to learn a whole bunch of stuff to paint about rather than sort of what we saw initially was a painting pretty generically in an Aboriginal style. People want to know their own stories and the stories from their mob and their culture. So we provide that sort of resource, and you've got to understand in a prison, if you're making art in a prison, particularly for First Nations people, there's not much cultural resourcing. The library will have one book and it'll be a 60s white anthropological study on the Aborigines from Arnhem Land or something like that. Most of the mob are from the southeast and they need stories and lingo and images and ideas in their own language and their own culture from their own community. So we brought that in. And the other thing the men and women wanted was to connect to the arts industry. Brother, how can we make some money? How do we get engaged with the Indigenous arts industry to an economy?
Yeah.
And to find a way to have a meaningful kind of vocational connection to that post-prison as well.
Yeah. And also, how is it accepted by the prison itself, the different prisons? Are they embracing it, or has there been a standoff with it, or is it getting better year after year?
Well, look, from when the word go, it's just been embraced. You know, the prison staff saw the impacts it was having, not just the annual confined exhibition, but also now if someone coming in, it was me, you know, for the first 4 and a bit years to provide this kind of cultural resourcing. They saw the behavioural changes, you know, and the benefits for the men and women in terms of their well-being, social and emotional well-being, and then upon release, that ability to reconnect back and to look to the future positively.
Yeah. And which it would as well. Now, you do this exhibition every year. Last year, you couldn't have people there for obvious reasons, and you still did very well out of it, didn't you?
Well, it was actually the best year we'd ever had by not having an exhibition in the real world, you know.
Because people were hungry. As a matter of fact, and I think I even told you on one of the Zoom interviews I did with you that somebody here from Joy actually posted in a little group about a butterfly that she'd bought from like the exhibition that was the online exhibition. And she said, "Oh, you should interview him." I went, "Don't you tell me about him." I said, "We get sick of interviewing you.
Can't get rid of the fella."
Yeah, so, you know, like, there you go. It's come full circle back to me.
Right, no, exactly. In a nice circle. So online, during COVID, which extended it to, you know, really a national audience, an international audience. We had our largest year. We did a lot of work to produce that beautiful virtual exhibition, not just doing the 3D tour. We constructed those beautiful spaces, and it was a fantastic experience. But it was the most successful year we'd had. And we were a little bit worried this year because, you know, we've had stops and starts without being able to get into the prisons with the COVID. And, of course, it's an environment that has to be very, you know, safe and very strict. But this year, you know, the amount of artists and artworks has smashed all records, and we're at the, luckily, at the beautiful big Glenora City Council Gallery.
Right, because you used to be at St Kilda Town Hall because your gallery is up the road, and it was obviously the obvious. So you've had to move because of the amount of art that you've got.
Yeah, 10 years at the wonderful Carlisle Street Art Space, as it's now called, but we just outgrew it. You know, the first year I put the exhibition on, there was 49 artists exhibiting 62 artworks. We could barely go one line around the wall. This year, 331 artists, 380 artworks. Whoa. So we're at a much bigger gallery, but we're almost at capacity straight away.
Well, I actually saw a Instagram post, and it was people looking at the art. And it was one on top of the other. It went up. It was like the salons of Europe from hundreds of years ago. I went, whoa, it really reminded me there was so much art on the wall.
Look, no, absolutely. In the third year, I sort of instigated the salon hang. And I talk about it a lot in terms of, you know, when people are there, to think of each painting as an Indigenous man or woman currently incarcerated or who's been recently incarcerated, and people then stand back, and this is not every Indigenous man and woman in Victoria, this is those who voluntarily connected to our program. So it puts it in a bit of perspective to see that kind of type of hang of the artworks, but then also to see how much positivity and spirit and resilience and you know, looking to the future is contained within those. There's never a work in there that's, you know, poor bugger me, or, you know, it's depressing. It's around this experience of culture, how important that is for that kind of reconnection, call it what you will, you know, rehabilitation, reintegration, how important that is to break the shackles of this incarceration.
And I was going to ask you that, Kent. I mean, you talk, obviously you get in touch with them, you get them started while they are in custody. So the rehabilitation side of things, do you try and maintain, obviously, contact with them and the continuation of the process? How successful is that part of it? I mean, you know, like, is it a very big uptake once they go back into the communities?
Yeah, it's always the most challenging aspect of it is we do all the hard yards in the prisons in the hope that upon release, the men and women will stay connected. And look, you know, everyone's life circumstances are quite significantly different outside of prison, and it can be very challenging. So I'm happy to say this year, of those, you know, 380 artworks, 199 are from men and women who are currently incarcerated, and then 132 are from men and women back in the community. I know those numbers don't add up, but there's multiple works from some artists.
Yeah. We're bad at bats anyway.
We weren't adding it up. Yeah. And what is the feeling of the artists, you know, like the fact that they're part of this exhibition, the ones that would have been able to have been there at, because you had a media launch the other night. Mm. What is the feeling like amongst them?
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. Many have never been to an exhibition or an opening or an event like we had the other night. It's a real sense of pride. And we had, again, the men and women supporting the Torch team to set that exhibition up. Two of the artists spoke at the media kind of preview VIP event. And you can just get that feeling around that it works and how important it is and how different for the men and women their lives are now and the thoughts they have about what's possible for their future. This comes through very strongly. And, of course, that impacts really positively on families, whether it's, you know, partners, loved ones, the mum and dad, uncles and aunts, or nieces and nephews, cousins, or the kids, you know. It's providing that sort of sense of role model where this doesn't have to be the way, but if it is, we can change it.
Yep, fantastic. All right, where's it on and when's it on?
Right, for all your wonderful, gorgeous, lucky listeners, it's at three places. So the Glen Ira City Council Gallery, in Caulfield on the corner of Hawthorne Road, Glen Ira Road.
Yep.
Open every day of the week. So Monday to Saturday, 1 to 5. These are the new COVID hours, 1 to 5. And then Sunday, 10 to 5. Okay. You can also go to our website, thetorch.org.au, and we do have the virtual tour this year of the gallery. So you don't have to leave your couch wherever you are. You can go and see that exhibition in the virtual tour. And then also you've got that beautiful scrolling mosaic on our website that we had last year where you can see all the works, click on them, see the stories. At all these three kind of platforms, you can just buy them immediately. 100% of the purchase price goes to the artists.
Fantastic. And it's from the 13th of May to 6th of June.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you can't find the love of your life at Confined 12, in terms of the artworks, we've got about another 400 online in our online shop. So there's no excuse not to buy something new, Mop.
Ken, always a pleasure. The Torch, how do we find out more about The Torch? What's the website?
Yeah, again, just go to thetorch.org.au.
Brilliant. Thanks. Always lovely having you on.
So great to be here. Thank you.
That's great. We've been talking to Kent Morris here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.